We are continuing this morning with our final message, or not our final, second to final message on a series called Grace Anatomy. It's a play on words that we've been using from that TV show, Grace Anatomy. Some of you watch that. Once in a while I watch it. But we have the best of all when we have grace. When we have God's grace, it is more than we deserve. And that's what we're talking about, receiving more than we deserve. And the blessing of God is upon us each and every day. It's been on my life, God's grace has been in my life, as I came to know Christ some 45 years ago, hard to believe that, when I was about 16, 17 years old. And I remember that day very well, when I gave my heart to Jesus. It was a day that transformed me forever. I finally came to know and realize that God loved me. And He loved me more than my parents. He loved me more than my friends. He loved me more than I loved myself. And He opened His Word to me. He revealed Himself through His Word. And I realized that I was a sinner, that I was in need of forgiveness, that I was in need of salvation. And so I repented of my sins and turned to Christ and invited Him into my life. And I know that before coming to Christ, I had always assumed that I was a pretty decent kid. I mean, I was a teenager like everybody else. I was getting into trouble here and there. I wasn't perfect. I wasn't out of control. I wasn't a, back then they called them juvenile delinquents. I don't know if they still call them that or not, but I don't think I was that. I had a few habits. I mean, I started smoking when I was 14 and quit when I was about 16 after I came to Christ. And, you know, I grew up in a non-Christian home. And for anybody that has grown up in a Christian home, you, my friend, are a blessed person. And don't take that for granted, because it's wonderful to be able to say you're part of a Christian home. But I know that as a young person, I had a lot of struggles like every other teenager. And when I came to know Christ, I realized that, you know, I needed His help, because He was the one that was going to be guiding me. He was the one that was going to be leading me and getting me through some of the challenges ahead. I was not much in terms of a student, a high school student back then. You know, you even back then, your friends... that was who you were. And if you can be popular in the crowd, then that was a big thing. And but the Lord began to work in my life. I became aware of the many things that I needed to adjust and had adjusted. And so I asked the Lord to begin tweaking some of those things and bringing me to the point in my life where I realized that, you know, that I needed to trust Him fully. I was deceptive, I was impatient, I was selfish, I was egotistical. And believe it or not, there are some of those characteristics that I still struggle with today. And I still am challenged with. I was trying to live the Christian life as a teenager, but was increasingly frustrated in my failed attempts. Seemed as though I would take two steps forward, or one step forward and two steps backward. And I would think I had victory over something, and then I realized, you know, an obstacle was put in the way. And so I learned what it was to grow little by little. I remember being at church one Sunday morning, And back then was when Bill Gaither's music was quite popular. And I've always been a fan of Bill Gaither. I always loved his music. And there was a song we used to sing in church called "All I Had to Offer Him Was Brokenness and Strife. But He Made Something Beautiful of My Life." You may even know the song. And I thought, well, that's me. I haven't done God a huge favor by choosing to follow Jesus. I don't have anything to offer Him except for my brokenness, except for my insecurities, my failures. And I'm more broken than I was more broken than I ever realized when I started to know the impact of that great song. The next line of that song says, "But He made something beautiful of my life." And I can attest to the truth of this little chorus from way back in the 70s. That seemed like a long time ago. The 1970s. Those were very challenging years. It was the years of the Vietnam War. It was the years of all kinds of peace marches, all kinds of social changes that were taking place. But it's been close to 40 years now. And the good thing is that God is still showing me things. God is still revealing things to me. Now, why do I say all of this? I say this because God is in the business of transforming. And today I want us to think about His transforming grace. But there's a couple of scripture verses beforehand I want us to look at. Because this particular verse in the book of Ezekiel made a direct impact upon my life when I was a teenager. And one of the first things that God gave me was a hunger for His Word, to be able to get into His Word. And one day I was thumbing through the Old Testament and found this verse in Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27, where God says to Ezekiel, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to follow my laws." Now, Ezekiel was totally transformed by the grace of God. In fact, many patriarchs of the Old Testament, it was the grace of God that transformed their lives. It was the grace of God that brought them from point A to point B and gave them new hope and purpose in life. That's true transformation. You go from being cruel to being kind, from being greedy to being generous, from being self-obsessed to being other-centered. And that type of transformation is available, I believe, today to every single one of us. I still have a long way to go. I have not made it. And yet I'm starting to see the finish line. As I grow older, I realize that God still has a work to do in my heart and my life, bringing forth transformation. And I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, verses 31 to 32. "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And that's why Jesus came into this world. That's why we're going to be celebrating Good Friday and we're going to be celebrating Easter. That's why God has given us this word to go on. But here's the problem. Many people go through life thinking they're not one of the sick ones. Many people go through life thinking they've got their house in order, thinking that everything is okay and they have nothing to worry about. Many people live from day to day as if tomorrow did not exist, as if eternity did not exist. Many people live from day to day thinking that they don't need to worry about their eternal destiny. I have always been concerned about people's destiny. I've always been concerned about where people will spend eternity. And the Bible is very clear because it tells us there's either a heaven or a hell, a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. God has told us in His Word that we need to repent of our sins and turn to Him and receive what He's already done for us. That we don't have to do anything else. We don't have to accomplish anything else. Because we know that it's not our good works. It's not our good looks. It's not the works of the flesh. It is the work of the Spirit. Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And He tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. None of us have made it. We're all sinners. We're all painted with the same brush because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And the good news is that He allows us to experience His transforming power. Well, here we have the story of Zacchaeus. I preached on Zacchaeus about a year ago or so. And Luke chapter 19 is where the story is if you want to turn in your Bible. But it is a great, great story of transformation. It's a great lesson on not just as a wee little guy, this fellow that was short in stature, but he turned out to be someone mighty in terms of God's favor. It is this kind of transformation that Jesus calls us to, and that God's transforming grace makes available to all who receive it. And to all who receive it, doesn't matter about your denomination or your background, it's to all who receive it. It's the whosoever will, as taught to us in the Scriptures. So here we see three things that kind of help us to focus in on the transformational grace of God. And let me share these with you very quickly here this morning. The first thing we see is that God hasn't given up on you. First lesson we learn from Zacchaeus, that God has not given up on you. During this time of pandemic, I have actually heard people say that God has given up on me. People have become so discouraged and so distraught and wondering when this whole mess is going to be all over with that they've just sort of given up in life. Zacchaeus was kind of like that too. He was not a very popular guy, as the story says. He was a tax collector. And specifically, he was a chief tax collector. And so he was a Jewish citizen whose job it was to go around and pester people and collect taxes for the Roman government. And none of us like taxes either. None of us probably like tax collectors. It used to be, well, I remember when I was growing up in Canada, the tax collector would come around and kind of see if we paid our property taxes. I don't think they do that anymore. But they used to make house calls. You know, if you were a month behind, they would come after you to collect taxes. And so I do remember those days. But nobody liked to see him come to the door, that's for sure. So the fact that he was a tax collector, that in and of itself was bad enough. But Roman tax collectors had a notorious reputation of bullying citizens. They were bullies and forcing them to pay more than the required amount. And so they had hoped to maybe get a little extra cash out of the deal as well, make a little bit of a profit. And as long as taxes were being collected, Rome looked the other way. It was just considered one of the perks of the job. And if you were a tax collector, you were probably identified in the community as someone who was a little bit shady and a little bit crooked and just far out of the mainstream. So tax collecting already paid well, but tax collectors had a reputation for extorting all they could from their constituents. They were considered greedy traitors. That's how they were looked upon. And Zacchaeus was at the top of the list. He was at the very top of the chain, and he was the boss. And all the tax collectors of every city during that day that Jesus walked this earth, all the tax collectors were accountable to him. So Zacchaeus was sort of a regional manager, or a regional superintendent, if you will. And so he was very wealthy. And yet he was very much despised. And, you know, as I think of him, I think of the fact that, you know, when he heard that Jesus was passing through the city, he went out to see him. You know, the fact that Zacchaeus, even with all that wealth, he had a hungry heart because he was looking for truth. He couldn't, you know, do what he wanted to do because he was short. And he had to climb up on a sycamore tree so that he could see everybody. And in particular, so that he could see Jesus. And I think Luke is being more than literal when he talks about Zacchaeus. He was not only small in stature, but he was small in character. Nevertheless, he wanted to see Jesus. But he couldn't because of his size and because of the limitations that were placed upon him. And so the crowd began to murmur. In their opinion, Jesus had no business being in the presence of a sinful man. That's the way they looked at Jesus. They complained about Jesus wherever he went many times. You know, that he would actually eat with sinners and be with prostitutes and eat with prostitutes and be in these bad, so-called evil places. Many people were not comfortable with that. That he was sharing a meal in someone's home who was considered an endorsement, a stamp of approval. Well, what was Jesus doing socializing with such a sinner as Zacchaeus? What was he doing? And so that was not good for his public image. That was not good for his approval ratings, if you will. So the crowd had decided that Zacchaeus was beyond redemption. There's no hope for this guy. Okay? There's no hope at all that he was too far gone. They had given up on him. But Jesus didn't. Because Jesus saw something in Zacchaeus that maybe you and I would miss. He didn't see the man Zacchaeus was. He saw the man that Zacchaeus could become. And there's a difference. He was right. I remember back in high school, I had a Catholic nun. I went to a Roman Catholic high school for my last 2 years. And this Catholic nun was very strict. Let me tell you, she would wear every day, all the nuns of the school would wear the black and white outfits that they usually wear. And I could tell that she was particularly mad at me because I was horrible in math. And I could see her blood pressure rising every time she came to my desk. And the redness of her face just spreading. Because she knew that I just was not very good at this stuff. And I remember back when I went to college the first year, I went to my mailbox one day. And I found there a check of $100. And it was from Sister Teresa. And Sister Teresa wrote a note. And I still have this note. And she said, "John, I had given up on you, but God didn't. God didn't." And she said, "I'm so proud of you that you're going to Bible school." And so that was a real blessing to me. That was a real encouragement to me. So, you know, when Jesus looks at us, he doesn't merely see who we are today. He sees the person we can become. He sees our potential. And I'm so thankful for that. I think sometimes when we deal with young people and we deal with one another, we judge them in the moment. We look at them in the moment. And we forget about the fact that here's someone that God can use. Here's someone that can turn out to be a person of great worth, of great integrity. Well, Billy Graham, he came out of a farm in North Carolina. And he became one of the greatest preachers ever in the world. Preached the gospel to everybody, the whole world. And he was told in the very beginning that he would never amount to much. He was told in the beginning that he would become maybe just a farmer boy. But God got a hold of him and gave transformation to him. So even if no one sees your potential, the lesson from Zacchaeus is that God sees your potential. That's the first thing to remember if we are to experience God's transformational grace. It is possible that we can change that way. The second thing is this, that your transformation can begin right now. It's never too late. Your transformation can and should begin right now. When you read this story, several words, they kind of jump out at you. And I've noticed a few here. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Come down right away. Immediately. I must. He says, stay at your house today. So he came down once. And Zacchaeus stood up and said, here and now, he says, I give you my possessions to the poor. Because I've been such a great sinner, because I've been kind of the scum of the earth, here and now, I'll give you all my possessions as a way to appease to all of this. And Jesus kind of skipped right by that. And he said, today, salvation has come to this house. Do you see the urgency in this story? It was like this was Zacchaeus' one big chance. And he couldn't afford to let it pass by. He couldn't afford to let it go. And that's not all the kind of thing that's happening here between Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus was not pressuring Zacchaeus to make a decision he didn't really want to make. And I think sometimes we try to pressure people in making decisions they're not ready for. You see, it was God's timing for him to climb up on that sycamore tree. And it was God's timing for him to invite Jesus to his house. And I think instead, you know, he was giving Zacchaeus an opportunity to take a step in his spiritual life that he long wanted to make. But he thought, Zacchaeus himself thought, there's no hope. It could never happen to me. And so we see this story as an amazing story about God's transformational grace and how that applies to our own lives as well. God is in the business of transforming. God is in the business of changing minds, changing hearts, getting us on the right path, and leading us in victory. I'm telling you that as I see this story, as I read this story, that change can begin today in each of our hearts. As I realize that the error of my ways, and as I realize my fallen nature, I hear Jesus saying, today let me come into your life. And I hear him welcoming me into my home and into my heart and helping me to become the person he's created me to be. And that's the same for every single one of us. That's one of the great lessons here from Zacchaeus. If you don't know Christ, then you don't have to put it off any longer, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. But if you're a believer, if you've been saved for years or even decades and have put off making this commitment, this total commitment to Christ, this total surrender to Christ, then Jesus is saying today is the day. Today. There's no other day. Not tomorrow, but today. Today's the day. In fact, your gender transformation can begin right now. And Jesus is saying, come down from that sycamore tree. Come down from that sycamore tree. And I think he's telling that to everybody. Come down from that sycamore tree. Stop being just a mere observer. Get involved. Let me work in your life. Give me a chance to work in your life today. And here's the third and final thing. If you notice verses 8 and 9, this is what it says. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Today salvation has come to this house. And so our transformation begins with the first step. The first step of obedience. We cannot sit back and say, "Lord, transform me. Make me more like you," if we do not take the initiative. If we do not say, "Lord, here I am. Take me. Use me. Whatever my circumstances, Lord, help me to come down from that sycamore tree and to be in your plan for all eternity." Just to make something clear, Zacchaeus wasn't saved because he gave his money to the poor. He gave his money to the poor because he was saved. There's a big difference. And that's so powerful here as we see it. He experienced the acceptance, the grace, the mercy of Jesus Christ, and it changed the way Zacchaeus lived his life all the rest of his days. And, you know, I'd like to see more Zacchaeus people. I'd like to see more being transformed the same as Zacchaeus was. And I know that, you know, his personal experience with Jesus resulted in generosity towards others. When God transformed him there through the power of the Spirit, the change of heart in Zacchaeus' life led to a change not only in attitudes, but also to a change in behavior. The Bible talks a lot about this. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul says, "You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, so that no one can boast." You know, a lot of people, they trust in their good works. They trust in the fact that they may be a good citizen of the community. They trust in the fact that, you know, that they don't cheat on their spouses. They pay their taxes, everything else. But the Bible says it's not by works. It's through his amazing grace. James would say in response to that, in the book of James, he says, yeah, okay, faith without works is dead. And so the two go hand in hand. If you have faith, if you have God's grace, if God has transformed your life, then you need to prove it. You need to live it out. You need to show the world. And so this is what Zacchaeus did, and this is where he's coming from. Zacchaeus took the first step. It was a big first step. And I remember in my early days as a new believer, taking that first step, that step of faith, was a scary thing. And I remember all through my Christian life that there have been times I've had to take the first step, the step of faith that God was calling me to do. And I remember just kind of shivering right in my boots. And it was scary. But yet it took the first step. And it was God's way of transforming me to become whom he wanted me to be. So I want you to notice three things about Zacchaeus when he took that first step, that step of faith. Number one, it was personal. He dealt with a subject very dear to his heart, his money. You see, to Zacchaeus, his money was his God. And that's the way it is with so many today. People's money can become a God. And his money was his God, and the fact that he hadn't come by all of it honestly. You know, he cheated along the way too. That did not help. The second thing, it was public. He said it in front of everybody, for all to hear. And thirdly, it was possible. He didn't promise more than he could actually deliver. He just did what he could. He could give away half of his wealth and still have enough to pay back his debtors, to pay back those that he owed. And then finally, it was a priority. Zacchaeus said, here and now. So you knew, as you see this story, read this story, you knew that Zacchaeus meant business. And he was serious with God. He wanted to make sure that he was on the same page. There are good things to consider if you want to put God's transforming grace to work in your life. And your transformation, the fact is, it can begin now, this very day, because of the fact that you belong to Jesus. I belong to him, you belong to him if you're a Christian, that he has accepted you, that he has forgiven you. He has come into your home and into your heart, and he's ready to change your heart. If you're ready to change your life, then accept his grace and to take that first step towards total transformation. And this is what happened to Zacchaeus. He experienced total transformation. So we're called upon to do it now. That old saying, why wait for spring? Do it now. Do it today. Start today. And you'll begin to see the transforming power of God's grace at work in your life. If you're struggling with something today, and if you need to just let God have his way in your heart, surrender to him. There's an old hymn that says, I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. And that's where it's at. In this story, we've seen the transformation of Zacchaeus. As the story opened, he was a sinner, and he was pretty good at it. And you know what? As your story opens, and as my story opens, we were pretty good sinners ourselves in our day. We saw him become a seeker, and he sought out Jesus in the streets of Jericho. And then he was an observer, watching Jesus from that sycamore tree, even if it was a distance. And that's exactly where many church people find themselves today. They're looking at Jesus from a distance, and not up close, not personal. But it didn't end there for Zacchaeus, because he became a participant. Once he experienced the transformational grace of God, he invited Jesus into his home, and his life was changed. And then he became a follower. And then he became a fully devoted disciple. And I believe that's what God wants of each of us. To be fully devoted disciples. Be fully devoted followers of his. And the end result was that after meeting Jesus, Zacchaeus was not the man he used to be, because he was changed. He didn't get religious all of a sudden. He became transformed. He became a new creature fully, with a new purpose. And so I asked myself the same question: where are we in this process? Where am I in this process? Where are you in this process? Sinner, seeker, observer, participant, follower. Wherever you are, doesn't matter where you are, Jesus is ready to receive you because of grace, because of transforming grace. He is ready to help you become the person He sees you to be. Fully committed. Radically transformed. For His honor and for His eternal glory. And so as we close, let's remember this great story of Zacchaeus. There are so many applications. And I trust that some of the applications you'll take home with you, and some of those applications you'll put into practice in your life. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word today. We give you thanks that you took the initiative, that you said, I will make all things new. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that Zacchaeus came down from that sycamore tree and he was willing to follow Jesus. I pray, Father, that you'd get us out of our trees, wherever we are, that we'd come down and that we would follow the Master. Lord, today we can start over. And that's the great news about grace. It's giving us the second, third, and however many chances we need to be followers of yours. And so, Lord, help us to take these steps towards transformation so that we might be transformed individually, so that we might be transformed as a church body, and so that we can bring transformation to this community, especially those, Lord, today who know not the Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to close as we sing together, Lead Me to Calvary, number 221 in your hymnal. But let's stand and sing this great hymn as we close this morning. Lord, we must never forget Gethsemane. We must never forget Calvary. We thank you that on that cruel cross, Jesus became a ransom for many. And Lord, it was on that cross that our sins nailed our Savior. And so, Father, we go now knowing the assurance, the blessed assurance, the foretaste of glory divine, that Jesus is mine. Jesus is at the very center. We go in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that it's not by ourselves, but it's by you. It's by your might. We go knowing your blessing upon us. And we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we ask. Amen.